Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 60. Today's day, June 10th. In today's podcast, we'll get into at least three topics. First, breaking news earlier today, Dan Hurley turns down the Lakers job. I'll talk about what that means for Dan, UConn, and the Lakers. Next, we go to the WNBA / the Olympics as Caitlin Clark was snubbed, according to some, by the USA Olympic team. I will tell you why I did not think it was a snub, even though Caitlin Clark is the most marketable player in the WNBA. Last, we'll go to the NBA Finals with Boston up 2-0. We'll talk about if this could be a series and what kind of adjustments do I think Jason Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks need to make. Let's get started with Dan Hurley. Obviously, the last time we spoke, Dan Hurley was going to be flown out to LA to meet with the Lakers. And when I talked to people that was close to the Hurley camp, I was told that he was flipping back and forth, but he was leaning heavily to take the job. Earlier today, there was supposed to be about a 2 o'clock meeting, a workout, about 1:30, news broke from Woj, saying that Dan Hurley had rejected the 6-year, $70 million offer from the Lakers. And folks, there is levels to it. When I talked to people I know earlier in the day, they said that Dan was going back and forth, all the last couple of days, taking it, not taking it. He was very unsure of it. Here's my takeaways based on what I have heard, but just my takeaways overall. Number one, if you're going to move across the country, you better get everyone's blessing. Namely, Mrs. Hurley, Andrew Hurley. And anybody can tell you, the wife of a coach is the boss of the family. Because the coach is always away recruiting, scouting, watching film, making phone calls, game prep, practice prep, and, you know, speaking engagements. So in order to move your family across the country, you have to get Andrea Hurley on board. And maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. That's not me to talk about and say. But I know that's got to be a factor. Number two, I don't think people understand the loyalty that Dan Hurley has. And I think that is part of it. Now, people are looking at the fact that he's won back-to-back national championships. You know, he's a UConn team that have won by double digits every game in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. Dan Hurley, who could be going for a three-peat this year, would be the first time since the UCLA teams of the 70s by John Wooden. And the fact that this could make Dan Hurley an absolute legend. But Dan Hurley's loyal. He's a loyal guy. Folks, how about if I told you when he was at Rhode Island, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was offered the Rutgers job the year before UConn. Imagine if they had Dan Hurley at the rack. No offense to Steve Pikel, who's done a great job. Hemmed and hawed. But he stayed loyal to Rhode Island. When he got offered UConn, he went back and forth because Dan is about loyalty. And if you know anything about Dan, look at his father. Look at who I call Mr. Hurley, Coach Hurley, who I had the pleasure of being across the sideline coaching against him. Do you know how many times Bob Hurley could have left St. Anthony and take it over Seton Hall, or Monmouth, or St. Peter's, or Ryder, or whatever college team he wanted to? And Bob Hurley, Mr. Hurley, I should say, stayed at St. Anthony's until the day he couldn't do it anymore. And the day he left is the day that campus shut down. That's loyalty. That's the way that Mr. and Mrs. Hurley raised Dan. and Bobby. Now, I know Bobby has gone off and he's at Arizona State. Dan is his dad, and that's loyal. And that paid off for UConn because he was loyal to not just that university, he was loyal to his kids that he recruited. He was loyal to his staff that he loves, that if he would have left, he wanted to make sure that if he left, it probably would have been Kamani Young would have got the head coaching job. Dan Hurley could have took the money and ran. But this speaks to who Dan is. And more than anything else, and that's what I got lost in this. I thought the Lakers allure was going to be too much. Now, maybe they should offer him more money to kind of make him an offer he couldn't refuse. But I'm starting to wonder if they even would have offered him 6 years, $90 million. Do you want to go play for the Lakers? Yes, it's LeBron James. I get it. But this is not LeBron James at 28. It's LeBron James at 39. This is a team that was the seventh seed in the playoffs. That was an eighth seed last year. That's won one playoff game in 2 years. That doesn't have a lot of flexibility to improve the roster. Could it have been a no-win situation? I don't know. I wouldn't have bet against Danny. But I'll tell you this. Loyalty may not mean a lot in college coaching. Loyalty may not mean a lot in the NBA. But loyalty means a lot to Dan Hurley. And that, more than anything, is my opinion why Dan Hurley did not leave UConn. His family, his players, and his staff. But also, I think he could build a legacy that he could be the next Coach K, the next John Wooden, the next Bob Knight, meaning iconic figure in college basketball. Let's move on to the Olympic team. It was announced after dropping 30 points on Friday night, middle of the night, Caitlin Clark was not named to the USA Olympic team. And for those that are not seeing this, because you're listening on the podcast, obviously shout out to Spotify and Apple. Please make sure you download and listen to all of our podcasts. It's episode 60, so there's about 59 more you may have missed. Asia Wilson, Breonna Stewart, Diana Taurasi, Alyssa Thomas, Brittany Griner, Nevisha Collier, Jewel Lloyd, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, Kalia Copper, Sabrina Ionescu, and Chelsea Gray. One name was off that list, and that is Caitlin Clark. And I want people to understand this. This is not me bashing Caitlin Clark. I think she will be one of the best 12 American basketball players in the world in short order. Folks, she's not there yet. And if you're going to say to me, well, the marketability. Shout out to my boss, Greg Sussman. Because when I looked at it, and I said, well, look what times they're playing. 2 o'clock on a Tuesday. 1:30 on Thursday or Friday. 11:15 on a Sunday. Those are not prime time hours. In the U.S., you know where that's primetime hours? Where is the Olympics taking place? It's in Paris, France. So it's primetime for Paris. It is about a 6-hour difference. So if you think about it, what, 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock over there, 1 o'clock or 1:30, that's 7:30, and 11:15 is like 5:15. Simply put, folks, it's not prime time in the U.S. But if you want to talk about marketability, I got a solution. All right, fine. Most popular gymnast is who? Right? Simone Biles? Who's the second most popular one? Olivia Dunn. You know what? That's it. You know what? Olivia Dunn should make the U.S. gymnastics team because of she's more marketable. There you go. Simply put, let's just take the at least one athlete in every sport and take the most marketable player in that sport, and that can lift it up. See where I'm going with this? It's not an all-star game, folks. It's the Olympics. And you have to send over the best team available. I also think if Caitlin Clark would have made the team, he's playing 5, 6, 7 minutes a game in garbage time. All the Caitlin Clark people, you think they're going to be okay with that? No. Because if she's playing 5, 6 minutes a game, they're going to say, why is she playing 17, 18 minutes a game? And let's get one thing straight. And I'm in the minority here on the network. And I really don't care because this is my opinion as the basketball analyst. She is not better than anyone on that roster. And people have brought up Diana Taurasi. Folks, have you looked at it? I'm going to look at my phone because I pulled this up. I want you to understand why people sit there and say that it should be, you know, Taurasi, it shouldn't be Taurasi, it should be Taurasi, it shouldn't be Taurasi. Folks, it's very simple. If you look at the stats between those two, okay, simply put, the stats are comparable. Points per game, I think it's like 16-8 to 16-2, or 16-8, 16-6. Rebounds are close. Assists aren't close, but neither are turnovers. Shooting percentages are pretty much even. And Caitlin Clark plays 5 more minutes a game than Diana Taurasi. So if Taurasi was playing 34 minutes a game and not playing with Kalia Copper and Brittany Griner now, she would have better stats. So now you can't tell me the stats are better. I'm not buying it. The international game, far more physical than the WNBA game. And if you're going to say to me, she deserves to be on there, then tell me why Arike Ogunbowale isn't. Arike Ogunbowale, who is better stats, points per game, more win shares, team's playing better. You mean to tell me that Arike Ogunbowale deserves to be there less than Caitlin Clark does? You gotta be careful with this. And it brings up what I've talked about. Folks, unfortunately, this could come down to a race thing. It's unfortunate, but this is the country we're in. I am a basketball coach. My job is to look at you as a lead basketball analyst on this network and give you my thoughts as a coach. Caitlin Clark did not deserve an Olympic spot this year based on her play. And that's why I judge it on her play. If we want to make it about marketability, I told you, Olivia Dunn should have been on the gymnastics team. Then I would have took, ready for this? End of the bench. If you want to do this, Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink, Angel Reese. You could argue that Cameron Brink and Angel Reese are more popular than a Jewel Lloyd, that are more popular than a Nafisha Collier, that are more popular than a Kalia Copper. So take all three. Simply put, those three elevating the game. I know Caitlin Clark is the best one by far, but those two are marketable based on coming into the league this year. Keep it about basketball, folks. When you keep it about basketball, it's a lot simpler than trying to look at marketability. If this was a marketing contest, if this was a WNBA All-Star game, I get it. She's there. I'll even argue if the Olympics were in the U.S., she'd probably be there. She'll have plenty of time. And maybe by next year, she'll be one of the best players in the world. Also know that it the Olympic team, they worked together for 2.5 year cycles. So they didn't just start practicing and working out now. They've been doing this for 2.5 years. Caitlin was always playing catch up. We'll see what happens if Chelsea Gray ends up playing. But if she doesn't, I'm giving a spot to Arike Ogunbowale. Let's end today's podcast talking about Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Boston up 2-0 after their 105-98 win last night. And it's simply put, folks, and when we talked about the NBA Finals, let me be quick about this. I said to you that Luka and Kyrie must win the battle of them two versus Tatum and Brown more than how Boston is going to win the battle of Porzingis, Holiday, White, Horford versus Jones, Washington, Gafford, Lively. Folks, if anything, because of the play of Luka last night, maybe you would say they were even. Luka and Kyrie combined for 48 points, right? And then if you look at what, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum did, you know, between the two of them, those two combined, you know, to give you less than it, obviously, they gave you 39 points. But if you add up Holiday, 26, White, 18, that's 42, right? Horford, 5, 47. Porzingis, 12, that's 59 points. It's 59 points out of those guys. I'm doing the math right here with you. Then you look at 17, 11, it's 28, 41, 43. Right then and there. There it is. The B-level guys of the Celtics scored 59. The B-level players of the Mavs scored 43. It's right there. So if you're going to lose the battle of those four, you can't lose the battle of those two. Simply put, I'm saying this right now, Kyrie Irving must be better. Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic must give you at least 50 to maybe 55 points for them to win. Lines are out. Mavericks minus 1.5 for game number 3. Total right now stands at 212.5. I'm going to say this right now. I do like the Mavericks to win the game. I'll take him on the money line. Kyrie Irving's points props at 23.5. He's 0-12 since stomping his foot on the garden. Game's in Dallas. He will be better. And you know where I'm going, folks. Oh, you know where I'm going. They keep crying. They keep raising it a point at a time. P.J. Washington. His points props at 13.5. So 11.5 game one. Cover. 12.5 game two. Cover. It's at 13.5. Folks, I think it's 8 or 9 straight games. P.J. Washington has covered his points prop versus the Celtics. Ready? Every time it's been 14 points. P.J. Washington goes over his points prop of 13.5. So like Kyrie, over 23.5. P.J. Washington, over 14.5. Kristaps Porzingis, go points, rebounds, assists, and let's go under for Porzingis, who right now is at 19.5. He looked banged up a little bit. I wonder how much that leg is bothering him. This is a pivotal game for Dallas. Simply put, they can't win if Kyrie is subpar. Luka's going to bring it. I think bench role guys, your B guys, your C guys, play better when they're at home. This whole game and this series can turn if Kyrie Irving steps up. I think he will. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for June 10th, episode 60. For all things sports gambling, please go download the Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be filmed on Thursday, episode 61. We will preview game 4 of the NBA Finals. And we'll look at the Las Vegas Aces. The best team in the WNBA is struggling right now. Becky Hammon is not happy. Big reason why, we'll talk about it. They're missing their floor general. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny with the graphics, thanks for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.